Let's go out and feel everything. If you hold me, I will let you into my dreams. For time is a river rolling into nowhere. We must live while we can, and we drink our cup of laughter.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth. Oh, I'm excited because guess what? We have an author in the house. She's actually on the phone with us today. Her name is Karma Spence, and she is new to Hastings. We want to hear all about that. And her book, Home Sweet Home Page, came out on May 18th and already is doing quite well. So we want to hear all about that as well. First of all, I want to welcome you to KDWA. Karma, thanks for calling in today.
Thank you for having me.
So Karma, tell us a little bit about yourself, please. You mentioned that you are newer to Hastings. Give us a little bit of your background.
Well, I came to Hastings because my husband grew up here. And when COVID hit, we thought, you know, this would be a really good opportunity to stop being in California and to start being in Minnesota. So that's what we did.
So to move during the pandemic is pretty ambitious. Had this been something that you'd been thinking of for a while?
We had been thinking about it. We were getting kind of tired of California. I mean, I'm originally from California. And we kind of gotten tired of it there, and our work had pretty much come to an end there. There really wasn't anything holding us there. So we decided to come here because my family is scattered throughout the country. There's no one place where you can be with all of my family. But most of his family is like all within an hour's drive of Minneapolis. So it made sense to come here because then we could spend time with family, and I get along great with his family. I love his family.
That worked out well. Did he move you, though, during the nicer months, or was it during the winter? Because that would have really been that would have been pulling the wool over your eyes.
That's true. Although I have to admit, it was really nice that we had a mild winter this year. We moved in May. I've been here for one full year now. So we moved in May. So it was shortly after.
May is lovely.
Yeah, and we ended up doing it kind of twice because we moved our stuff first. Then we went back to California, picked up our cat, and then drove our car with the cat, which was interesting.
Is that going to be a book someday?
You know, it might. It might be.
Well, welcome.
With cat. That was interesting.
I bet it was. Welcome to Hastings. I hope that it's been everything that you hoped it would be. And
I love Hastings. Well, I really, you know, it's like I've become completely enamored of cornfields.
Sweet. Well, they'll be popping up again soon. You know, it's the cycle of life around here.
I'm looking forward to it.
I know. Karma, tell us a little bit about the different things that you have done in your life, because you've had quite the varied background. And I know that this book we're talking about today, Home Sweet Home Page, is not your first book. So first of all, give our listeners a little bit of a background of what are some of the other positions and careers that you've had.
Well, I've always kind of had writing as the basis of what I've done, writing, communicating. I started off as, well, actually, to back it up a little bit, I started off with the idea that I was going to be a scientist, and I wanted to study, my big idea was I was going to study cetacean intelligence. Cetaceans are dolphins and whales, big fancy names.
Oh.
But that was my big idea, and while I was studying that as an undergrad, I discovered science writing, and I fell in love. Now, I had been writing since I was 4 years old. That's when I fell in love with writing. So I've been writing something, usually bad something, since I was 4 years old. I've got reams and boxes and a hard drive full of lots and lots of bad writing. And I fell in love with science writing. I was really good at it, so I ended up getting a master's degree in journalism and became a science writer and spent like 20 years writing science-related public relations and marketing stuff for organizations such as City of Hope National Medical Center, which is a cancer center in California. And I worked for genome.gov, which is the website for the National Human Genome Research Center in D.C., and various other companies, Blue Shield, Blue Cross, that kind of thing. And then around 1999, 2000, when the dot-com crash happened, the writing job kind of like went away. And I, for a while there, I panicked and decided to go into sales for a while. That didn't last very long because I'm not that good at sales. And I came back to writing because that's really where my strength is. And I went back to writing. And that's where I started doing most of it on my own. And I started looking at becoming a coach and stuff like that. And that's when I wrote my first book, which was a cookbook, Bonkers for Bundt Cakes.
Oh, because you are bonkers for Bundt Cakes?
Oh, yes. I love to bake. And I had inherited the Bundt pan from my grandmother, and she used to make these absolutely delicious rum cakes with the Bundt pan. And so I just started experimenting, and I created this Bundt cake recipe. And it started off as like booklets that I would do every year for Christmas for my family. And then I thought, well, you know, maybe I could publish it. And this was back well before pod publishing was really carrying on. And I published it through a company called Lulu.com, which still exists. And back then, it cost like $100 to publish your book. So I paid the $100, and within 6 months, I had made my $100 back, and which was pretty amazing, although now I realize it was because Bundt Cakes is a really popular keyword. But I didn't know that then. I didn't know what I was doing back then. And if you look at the book, you can tell I didn't know what I was doing back then. My second book was also a cookbook, Your Perfect Pie. Much better cookbook, does not sell as well.
Interesting.
Lesson learned, keywords again. I'm probably going to republish that book, rename it, so that it's better optimized for the title. My third book was the first edition of Home Sweet Homepage. And that the first edition did really well. But I got a lot of comments about the cover, because the cover was like more pinks and purples. It had a little girl on it. Not a little girl, but I mean, it had a cartoon kind of woman on it. And a lot of people were going, well, this is a little too feminine. A lot of men didn't want it. And it helps men. I mean, it's not gender specific. It's for authors and speakers and coaches. So I always had it in the back of my mind that I would redo it. My fourth book was the first book I did through an actual publisher. I did it through a boutique publisher. It's called 57 Secrets for Branding Yourself Online. And that one is, there's a technique that you can use to create a book where you take a bunch of blog posts and you pull them together into a book. And so that's what that book was. I took a bunch of blog posts, updated them, created the transitions for them, and created that book. And that was part of the publisher was creating a series of 57 secrets for X, Y, Z, and mine was branding yourself online. Their series did not go very well, so they have stopped publishing that. And I got the rights back to the book, and I haven't done anything with it yet, but I will. And then my last book was Public Speaking Superpowers, which was sort of my opus. I interviewed, I think like 90 different speakers for this book. And it's basically a public speaking course in a book. And that one got to number 2 behind a woman who had her own TV show. So I don't think I had a chance at number 1. But it also won 3 awards, so I know it's a good book. And then I decided to redo Home Sweet Homepage, in part because the first time I published it, it was under my former married name, and I want to get rid of my former married name off of all the books that are on Amazon. And in part because I realized that with the pandemic going on, right now with the pandemic, a lot of people are buying books online. And a lot of authors are not making use of their website properly in order to tap into that market. Well, my book helps them do that.
So tell us exactly, the subtitle is How to Fix the Five Deadly Mistakes Authors, Speakers, and Coaches Make with Their Website's Homepage. Pretty important stuff if you are just selling things online. So how did you zone in on that would be a good topic? And then can you give us a little sneak peek of what, like maybe one of the deadly mistakes?
Sure. When I was first writing the book, I had a coach because I was taking a class. Her name's Donna Kozik, and she has a course that's called Write a Book in a Weekend. And she basically has this program. Her whole concept is that you write this book in a weekend so that you can create a book that will drive people to your business. It's a small book that is like a big business card. And so that's what the original book was. It was sort of a big business card that was driving people to the business I had at the time, which was a web designer. I'm no longer a web designer. And she's the one who said, well, why don't do the whole book on websites altogether? Just home in on the homepage. And then she actually came up with the title, and I loved it, and I ran with it, because that's the way I am. It's like, when you give me a good idea, I'm one of those people who will take quick action, and I'll run with it. So I did, and I've never stopped running. I've just run with it and run with it and run with it, and I love it. And the first deadly mistake is all the mistakes you can choose to strategically make, but you have to choose to strategically make them. But the first mistake, you can't. Because if you make the first mistake, nothing else you do will help you. And the first mistake is a lack of clarity. And that's meaning that if you don't know what the purpose of your website is, what the purpose of your homepage is, then it's not going to serve that purpose. It's kind of like saying, I'm going to go on a road trip, but I don't know where I'm going. So you absolutely have to be clear, why do you have this homepage? Why do you have this website? And then you make sure that everything you do, everything that's on that homepage, everything that's on your website is aimed at achieving that goal.
You know, on your website that I'm looking at, there are some interesting statistics. Do you want to elaborate on those? The number of minutes the average user spends on a website is only 2 minutes and 17 seconds. That's not very long.
No, it's not. Which is why one of my pieces of advice is don't say, welcome to my website, because you've just wasted how many seconds did it take?
Welcome
to
my website. Like three.
Yeah. So one of the pieces of advice in my book is that you really need to have a very strong, compelling headline. Another one of the deadly mistakes is not being clear on who your target market is. So you need to really understand who your target market is and speak their language so that when you write your headline, the person lands on your website and they go, oh, yeah, this person gets me. They understand me. Then they'll spend longer than that time.
This is kind of frightening. 75% of people form their opinion of a website based on aesthetics.
I know, it's terrible. We they say don't judge a book by its cover.
We do, apparently.
But we do.
Dear.
We just do. We're human, and we do.
So this is all websites? They have to be pretty?
They do. If you want people to stick around or have a good opinion of them. Now, that said, you can get a website that converts that's not pretty, but you have to have everything else spot on. And if you're not 100%, if your headlines aren't spot on, if your content isn't spot on, then you're kind of screwed. So you might as well do the best you can in everything, cover all your bases, because then, you know, a pretty website can make up for a headline that's maybe 90% there.
Cool.
And it's not hard to have a pretty website these days.
It's not?
No, not at all.
Well, what do you mean? I don't think I would know how to make one.
Oh, it's wonderful. There's a system called WordPress. You can get a WordPress website, which if you go to any hosting company, they'll install WordPress for you. And then you install what's called a theme. The theme is what makes it pretty. And if you invest a little bit of money, you can get a theme that's called Divi. And Divi gives you the power. It's a little bit of a learning curve. It's a little slow to load at times, but Divi gives you the power to create any page and make it look any way you want. The website you're looking at was created with Divi.
But isn't it kind of subjective? What you find easy to navigate and pretty is probably different than me, or is there something that's universal?
Yes and no. A lot of it has to do with your audience. So the way you would design a website, say, for a scientific audience is going to be completely different than what you would be designing it for, say, teachers or for artists or for gardeners. That's another reason why you really need to know your audience, because you need to understand what they find aesthetically pleasing.
Oh.
Some audiences really love a rich, lots of textures and stuff, you know, on their website. And others are like, just give me white and text on it and get rid of all the foo-foo.
I think I'm a foo-foo person.
Yeah. So again, that's why you need to be really clear on your purpose and really clear on your target market and get those two matched.
So your book is called Home Sweet Home Page. Who is your audience?
My primary audience is authors, because I help them write, publish, and market their books.
So if there's authors out there, you can certainly help them get the word out and be someplace where you're going to spend more than 2 minutes and 17 seconds on somebody's website.
Yes. Yes, definitely. I mean, the whole point of what I do is to help get their message out of their head, get that wonderful message that's between their ears out of their head, onto the page, and into the hands of their ideal readers.
So you mentioned that this is a second edition, not only because of your name change, but also did you change the colors and things then based on the feedback you had?
Absolutely. Absolutely. This is a completely redesigned cover. The original book was square, and it had like pinks and oranges, and this is a much, much cleaner white. I used the purple and green, which is the colors I'm now using as a general brand colors. It changed the interior. I added, there's now a sixth deadly mistake. And in addition, I've included, for anyone who buys the book, a complete, I guess, it's like a membership site or a mini course that I call the Reader's Club. And it's got videos and cheat sheets and worksheets that go dig deeper into every topic in the book. So there's no way you can't improve your website when you get this book.
Well, we love it. And this is so exciting that you live in Hastings. Karma, thank you so much. Karma Spence, and she is available on Amazon. Where else can we find you?
Pretty much anywhere the books are sold. There are plenty of the online markets are on my webpage, but also if you go to your local bookstore, if they don't happen to carry it, all you have to do is ask them to order it for you, because it is orderable.
We love it. Again, congratulations on your successes and welcome to Hastings.
We hope you
come back and chat with us again if you have anything else coming out. And
you are
listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.